Welcome back to Season 9. This is Episode 4 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for paying the bills. Hooters, 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. To find the location nearest you and for convenient online ordering, visit originalhooters.com, originalhooters.com. Remember, throughout the summer, they have been pushing a new summer flavor on their wings, the Mango Habanero. I'll be honest. Always honest with you guys. I haven't had it. Might be too much heat for me, and I am a Daytona-style snob. So there you go. But another choice for you with your wings at Hooters, 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, which is where I am based. I love all of you listening outside the Tampa Bay area. Data said a while back we were being listened to in almost 20 countries at one point. I would imagine a number of you that do listen outside the United States are from here, and a significant percentage of you may be serving our country overseas, and I am simply a distraction in the world of fantasy football. What you are doing is exponentially more important than what I am doing. I'm flattered that I can give you a brief distraction for serving our country. Thank you very much to all of you serving our country, to those of you just listening to this podcast, independent of your profession. I'm flattered I have your ears, whether it's just every now and then or you're a regular listener to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Email is wright.todd@yahoo.com, wright.todd@yahoo.com to answer your fantasy questions. I do so many of each season's fantasy podcasts in advance of your fantasy draft because it's a blank canvas for most of us that restart leagues, and even for those of you in dynasty leagues or what have you. The draft is a significant part of what we do annually as it relates to fantasy football. Gave you the email. I talked about Hooters. My thanks also to Pin Chasers, their 4 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area, and, of course, Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan won one of my leagues last year. He's the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, and at some point, I'm going to get some things from Sean that he would like to highlight about why he won the podcast league last year. We don't do podcast leagues anymore. I'm only doing personal leagues to bring everything in-house and away from sponsors and everything else. But Sean is a de facto defender of one of the leagues I'm going to commission because I'm inviting him to play as someone who supports me. And I drive one of his vehicles. But at some point, I'm going to get a list of things, his reasons why, much like I've talked about why I won the foundation last year and won my first Jimmy McGinty trophy. I've won championships in 2 of the last 3 years. I won a McGinty last year. And in 2021, I won a podcast league. I think that was the podcast league. I think we were only doing one. The podcast league in 2021. We might have been doing 2. I lose track of these things. It doesn't matter. Let's move on to the topic for this particular podcast, sticking with our theme of sort of this or that, comparing one thing to another that might give you a second opinion if you are in this position ultimately in your league or in your fantasy draft. The top 3 running backs, according to data via updated mock drafts, relevant to the 48-hour window before this broadcast from fantasyfootball.calculator.com, McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson. You may not agree. I'm just going off the data for talking points. We devoted an entire podcast already to Christian McCaffrey, relating it to a similar argument that was out there and debated last year. And now I want to take it the next step in talking about Breece Hall versus Bijan Robinson. If you are committed to drafting a running back number one, and you have the opportunity to draft either one of those. Now, you could go elsewhere, a little further down in the updated data, and things can change before you draft. There's Saquon Barkley, there's Jahmyr Gibbs, and there are others that are potential. Kyren Williams. Some of the data has even suggested via fantasyfootballcalculator.com that Kyren Williams has gone as high as number one, not just the number one running back off the board, but number one. I owned him last year. I wouldn't do that. But just there are others out there. Are this or that is simply Breece Hall or Bijan Robinson. Let me take Bijan Robinson. First of all, let me say it like this. In the league, I didn't win last year. I won the foundation. And my starting running backs for the push to the playoffs and then in the playoffs where I didn't even need my full lineup. I was able to take a knee and not even play the player that I think it was one or two players for either the Sunday night game or the Monday night game in week 16. My starting running backs were Christian McCaffrey and Kyren Williams. Very strong. The starting running backs, we start two, that I drafted in last year's podcast league failed me badly. Did not, I overdrafted them or should not have drafted them. I had Breece Hall and I had Bijan Robinson. So according to the data, I was just a year too early. Much like in the previous podcast, I was properly a year ahead of the curve on Tyreek Hill and saw the value there in 2022 after he took inaccurately took a downgrade in most people's minds because he was leaving the Chiefs for the Dolphins. He was leaving Patrick Mahomes for Tua Tagovailoa. And I drafted him in every league I could. Last year, I drafted Bijan Robinson to be my RB1 and Breece Hall to be my RB2. And my team stunk. Eventually, I traded both running backs. I think I traded Robinson before I traded Hall. Hall was a deadline trade just trying to get – I was demanding a running back – and another player in return. With Robinson, I honestly forget who I traded him for. I seem to do an annual trade with Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famer, Bengal Ralph. It might have involved a Bengal player. It might not have involved a Bengal player. But I regretted drafting Bijan Robinson, and I regretted drafting Breece Hall. And here we are, talking about the data as it stands at the start of August, and these are the number two and three running backs off the board in mock drafts. So I was a year ahead. Let me talk about Robinson, because if you didn't own Robinson last year, or you didn't follow the Atlanta Falcons, maybe you're not aware of what the buzz was about, why I and other fantasy owners of Bijan Robinson and Falcons fans were upset. Perhaps we thought too highly of Robinson going into the season, that he would receive Derrick Henry type usage. part of that was not only his talent and his skill set, namely his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, but also based on how Arthur Smith's success as an offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans that earned him the opportunity to be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons was based on feeding Derrick Henry the football. So many thought, especially with the Falcons taking Robinson with the 8th overall pick, and with Smith on what we perceived, and we were right, a short leash in Atlanta, he's going to give him the ball a ton. And it didn't happen that way. Arthur Smith is gone. He is now the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bijan Robinson goes into year two with new coaches from the McVay tree. So let's just give you Robinson's numbers from last year, because it also paints a point. Robinson did start. He played in all 17 games. He sat most of the game at Tampa Bay, for which the Falcons were fined when Arthur Smith didn't disclose that Robinson told him and other coaches that he wasn't feeling well that morning. So fantasy owners were hung out to dry. Andy Reid's done this to us also, but not for an injury, just his plan to not use a particular player in a particular game a couple of years back. For his rookie season, despite a lot of negative attention on the workload for Robinson, he touched the ball 272 times. He rushed for 976 yards, an average of 4.6 per carry. He rushed for a modest 4 touchdowns. Often in goal-to-go situations, he was not in the game or handed the football. He caught 58 balls for 487 yards, an average of 8.4 per reception, and 4 touchdowns. He lost 3 fumbles. He fumbled 4 times. He lost 3 of them. So, touched the ball 272 times over a 17-game season. That's what? That's roughly 15 touches per game. 170, 255, yeah, a little more. 15 touches per game. Okay, 275. Am I doing that right? Or am I one off? 340. Let's see. 17, 170. I'm doing quick math in my head. 85. No, that's about right. So about 15 touches per game. 8 touchdowns, less than 1,000 yards rushing, 487 receiving. Okay, those were Robinson's numbers in a workload that many questioned. How he was used, underused, overall, and based on situations. Breece Hall's usage, where I don't think anyone was a fantasy owner of Hall. I'm not a Jets fan, and I wouldn't want to be a Jets fan. Sorry. Questioned how Hall was used. Hall, 223 rushing attempts, 994 yards rushing, 76 receptions, 591 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns rushing, 4 touchdowns receiving. So a total of 299 on the touch count, roughly just under 1,600 yards in tandem offense and 9 touchdowns in his second year. Let's go back as we do this deep dive to Robinson. Robinson, underused by virtually anyone you ask who paid attention. 272 touches of the football. Tandem offense, right about 1,500. 8 touchdowns. 3 fumbles lost. The Jets have a healthy Aaron Rodgers as we speak, which they didn't have for all but 4 snaps of Breece Hall's start. Wasn't there something going on with Breece Hall, like coming off the knee, like they were worried, and then he busted off the long run? So they were a little slow to give him full work at the beginning, because I do remember people saying, well, if he can do that, right, that 82, 83-yard run in the first game, what the hell are we waiting for? So there was a little bit of that at the beginning. Clearly that went away because the Jets didn't have much choice. But because the best way to move the football for the Jets once Aaron Rodgers went down, and the safest, was to hand the ball to Breece Hall. Robinson, just 27 touches fewer than Hall. Roughly 100 yards of tandem offense less. 1 touchdown less. And then you have the 3 fumbles. Is that a fumble problem? It's negative points. You don't want to lose those. But that's where we're at. So now we look at Hall in his third year, coming off no injuries. Robinson in his second year, coming off no Arthur Smith. Hall gets a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Robinson gets the McVay tree, which I, as a Kyron Williams owner and Rams fans, will tell you, don't think McVay just throw. He will shorten the game by utilizing a running back that can help him keep the chains and the clock moving. Most recently, Kyron Williams just drafted the kid out of Michigan. Prior to that, Cam Akers had Sony Michel, right? Prior to that, you have to ask yourself, what's your expectation? Do Hall's numbers go up because the offense will be more functional under Aaron Rodgers, which will benefit him? And then you look at Robinson and say, how much do his numbers go up now that Arthur Smith is gone and presumably the workload is closer to what we all expected? Granted, the Falcons have brought in a quarterback. They have upgraded the quarterback position as well. I mean, the Jets' other options at quarterbacks were shit. The Falcons weren't much better. I was one of those that said very early on, I just don't see it with Desmond Ridder. And I was right. Heinicke can come in and he can get you something, but Heinicke just clearly looks like a backup quarterback, right? Plug and play. He's not a guy you want to start more than a game at a time. You'd prefer just to bring him off the bench and get by, and then maybe start the next week, and hopefully that's it. So both running backs are looking at an upgrade at the quarterback position, which could help their receiving numbers. And you would say, I mean, throwing to running backs is easier for bad quarterbacks because it's a safer throw. It was a safer throw for Zach Wilson last year. It was a safer throw for Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. But also, you had to think that both Hall and Robinson were facing defensive coordinators that were focusing on them rather than worrying about being carved up by these lousy non-starting caliber quarterbacks. So Robinson's value goes up with Kirk Cousins and or Michael Penix. Hall's value goes up with Aaron Rodgers until further notice, until we see something else or Rodgers gets hurt again. Both quarterbacks coming off torn Achilles. So there's a lot going on here. I'm jaded by last year as it relates to both. I personally would make more of a case of Robinson having the bigger jump in fantasy numbers than Hall. I think there's, because it's year one to year two, because of the change in the coaching staff, and because of the feeling that Robinson wasn't used enough last year, and yet he only touched it 27 times less than Hall did. What do you think? Now, if I'm choosing a running back in the first round and McCaffrey is off the board, could I look elsewhere? Would I take Gibbs? Would I take Barkley? Would I wait and take Kyren Williams? That's kind of where the data is right now. But in terms of this or that, this podcast was about Hall and Robinson and kind of the interesting dynamic of those two against one another. With Hall, based on the data as of August 1st, slightly ahead of Robinson in fantasy mock drafts. What do you think? Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Maybe in the end, you look at those two, you can't decide and just say, yeah, I'll take a receiver. That's the fun of fantasy football. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.